Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Champagne Sundays with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigGlenMagazine.com.
Welcome, everybody. It is March 21st and 2021, so we're already into spring. We love it. So welcome to Big Glen Radio's Champagne Sunday Spring Party Show. We're broadcasting live today from sunny and a little windy Lubbock, Texas. We're your hosts, Nancy Reed and Lisa Smith. You know, we travel the country as a mother-daughter duo, traveling and documenting parks and public lands, and also sharing the stories of the different communities. And that's our Love Your Parks tour. We do that, and you can find those stories on nationalparktraveling.com. And I'm saying that because the magazine for that website, Parks and Travel, comes out the beginning of this week. So we're very excited for that. So if you want to get it in your email box, it's digital. It's super cool. Just go to nationalparktraveling.com and sign up for our newsletter, and we'll also get issues of our Big Blend radio and TV magazine that comes out quarterly, and some specialty publications we're working on. Is that all good, Nancy? Did I do all the big announcements there?
I'm feeling energetic now.
Oh, good. I know. Right in the middle of deadline. With computer updates,
like,
and all.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. My computer, my champagne toast today has nothing to do with computers. I'll tell you that
now.
I have the opposite. But maybe I should sprinkle a little champagne on my computer and updates will magically be happier.
Maybe
that's
what's wrong with your computer. Maybe you have sprinkled a little too much on there.
I don't know. But hey, you know, I got a new mouse. That's apparently the important thing for Windows updates. Check your mouse.
Apparently, yeah. It's
my
true.
Mouse was old and outdated, it said. But anyway, we are celebrating spring. You see, that's it. It was the first day of spring. Get a new mouse. We're celebrating spring on today's show. We have a little brunch party that we're going to host with authors Shelley Wizen and Steve Piacente. Both of them are experts in our Big Blend family. And Sarah Ellison was going to join us. She's also, the author of Lessons from a Difficult Person. And unfortunately, she lost her voice. And so we want to give you a big toast to Sarah out there, and we'll get her back on the show soon. You can listen to her recent interviews. Just go to blendradioandtv.com. Just type in Sarah Elliston. You'll find her. And then also, we're going to be chatting with Chef Ivan Flowers in a little bit. He's going to talk to us about how to make his spiced strawberry bruschetta. And I'm into this. This sounds so perfect.
That sounds good.
I know. And did you know today is National Strawberry Day and National French Bread Day? I wonder if he knew.
Well, there it is.
He knows everything.
He knows.
Yeah. He knows.
He always knows.
He knows. And we've got music. We got music from Josh Pfeiffer over in California and Makana over in Hawaii. So a lot of good stuff happening. But I think we got to party. We got to do our champagne toast. So are you ready, Nancy?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're always ready for a little bit of a party.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, hang on.
I'm there.
Playing Nancy,
thank
jazz
you.
In there a little bit. Yes, absolutely.
That was a little jerky, huh?
I know. Well, let's bring our first guest, our first party guest, Shelley Wizen, back on the show. Shelley is awesome. She's one of our newest experts in Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine. I encourage you to go to her website. It is SoulDivingInstitute.com. She is the founder and CEO of the Soul Diving Institute, which is established to study and teach the art and science of being human. I think it's really important right now when you go through computer updates and in this wonderful digital technical world that we learn about being human. One day we'll have the big race. The new reality show will be Being Human versus AI.
Oh, my gosh. Humans versus robots.
I know. Cool. I know. It's already happening. It's already happening. Shelley is also the author of The Healing Journal, The Story of the Magical Baby Grand Piano, and her latest book is What Do You Bring to the Table? A Savory, Sensory, and Inspirational Guide to Living a Yummy, Delicious Life. And it's got awesome recipes, and it's really, it's an awesome book. Everyone needs it. So welcome back, Shelley. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. I'm so excited. I just feel happy. It's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles, and I'm excited to spend some time with you guys. You're just terrific and funny and poignant and talk about all the things that need to be talked about in such a variety of ways. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
For what you do.
We always have fun with you, and I think spring is such an important thing. You know, it's kind of, you want to get rid of any of the negative stuff, and really it just has this feeling of hope and joy. So I love that you're on and that you're on with Steve Piacenti. What a great match. Again, I really wish Sarah Ellison was able to join us today. So we're waving at you from Lubbock, Texas, Sarah. But Steve Piacenti has been on our show for years. In fact, I think it started off with his novels, Pretender, Bella, and Bootlicker. It started with Bootlicker was the first one. And he is also, Steve, you're a reformed journalist. I don't know where the reformed came from. But you did retire from the journalism world, and he is now a life coach, a certified life coach, and also owns the company Next Phase Life Coaching. And his latest book is not a novel, but it does tell true stories, which I think is very important. And it is called Your Last Fighting Stance. Here it is. I'm getting this, Steve. Your next fighting stance, what I love about it is you'd say that because good enough isn't, good enough isn't, and you know it, your new fighting stance. So, yeah, that book is, it's got to be still resonating with everyone. It's still pretty fresh.
Well, thanks, Lisa. And first, Sarah, sorry you're not feeling well, and our best wishes go out to you, and I hope you make a quick recovery. And it's great to be back on the show. Shelley, it's nice to meet you, and looking forward to an interesting and robust discussion today.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yummy.
Cool.
Because if it's not robust, it just isn't good enough. Exactly it. Steve, you've got your new fighting stance out, but you're also, when I say certified as a life coach, it's through the International Coach Federation, very important, but a former journalist, but also you're the director of training at the Communication Center in D.C. Before we get into anything talking about spring, I want to know, is D.C. going to become its own state? Is that really true? Is that happening?
The statehood movement has been around for a long time in D.C. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, however.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's interesting.
Because you don't
a state to keep everybody neutral?
I don't know the rationale behind it. I just know that states' rights issues, they fought for it for a really long time. And there's some sentiment for it, but I don't think there's the political will in Congress to ever make that happen, at least not anytime soon.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. Every time I hear about that, you know, I think about all our friends out in D.C., and we're still scared. One day we'll get there. And but let's talk about, you know, spring is here. So I want to have a description of what it's like to be in spring in your area. So where are you actually calling from today, Steve? Because sometimes you can be in, you know, Asheville, North Carolina. You travel a lot. So where are you today?
Well, not lately. But I'm calling in from our home in Rockville, Maryland. And the name of my street is Crocus Drive. All the streets around here are named for flowers.
Cool.
And sure enough, we're in the mid-50s today, which feels like a heat wave compared to what we've had in recent weeks. And the flowers and the trees are starting to bloom. So, in a couple of weeks, it's going to be really pretty around here, about 12 miles outside of D.C. And if I have one big regret this year, it's that we will not have access to the cherry blossoms downtown by the tidal basin, because all of that, I believe, is going to be closed off. Because of COVID, they're still not comfortable with letting people in there. And that's something I used to go to every year, bring the cameras and get a lot of nice shots. But I don't think it's going to happen this year.
That's too bad. I've always seen photos of it. We've actually covered
it's beautiful.
Press releases over the years. And it's one thing we really want to do. So maybe, Nancy, you and I can plan that we go there next year for that, for the Cherry Blossom Festival.
I'd love to do that.
Sure.
For sure. That's on my list.
So, Shelley, and everybody, by the way, Steve's website is stevepiacente.com. You got to check him out over there and also keep up with him on Facebook. He's on Twitter and Instagram. You got to keep up with him on Instagram. He's an awesome photographer. I go to Instagram every day just to look at his photos and see where he's been. Yeah, really beautiful photos, a lot of nature and people. You're capturing a lot of people in kind of like life moments lately that I've seen of your photos.
Yeah.
Seems like you're going way.
I just finished Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book about the brain. And one of the things that he recommends to keep our brain functioning well as we get older is meditation. And I don't do meditation, but I look at the photography as meditation. When I go out, it's very peaceful for me and it's very calming. And it's, you know, I don't have to think about anything else but that.
It's being able to focus on just one thing. It's so cool to clear your mind like that.
Yeah.
I think we need that, and I think nature does that a lot, too. And that's great. Shelley, I want to hear what you said. It's a beautiful day in L.A. You're in Sherman Oaks. So, hey, you know, Steve has crocuses and you've got oak trees. But meditation, I want to touch on that because that's something you are a big part of is meditation. And even your book, What Do You Bring to the Table, is like mindful, meditative, you know, mindfulness, a lot of mindfulness.
But I always add happy mindfulness. Because and that's why I call them happy mindful meditation, because for me, and they don't take very long, and they're only maybe 1 to 2 minutes, really. And when you get, it's like what Steve's talking about, you get in a zone, and it doesn't take long in order to get into that zone. Even if he's standing there taking a photo of something that is just extraordinary, that moment is very meditative. So it changes and shifts your state. And the same thing with these little happy mindful meditations. They will have an idea that meditation takes hours and hours and hours, and it can. I'm not saying it doesn't, and it can, but it doesn't have to in order to switch and change your state so that you feel good and you feel happy, you feel joyful, ready to meet the next moment because you're in this moment fully present. And so the book is about being present when you're cooking. It's who you are while you're cooking cookbook. And there's some recipes in there that offer some practice for that. So and there's a little happy mindful meditation right before that. So you can focus even on a picture that brings you joy or looking outside the window and really looking at nature. How often do we stand outside the window and look at nature? So just different little hacks, I guess, life hacks that that help people get into the present moment, especially with breathing. And right now I have... Because we have this beautiful spring, I have a little bit of touch of seasonal asthma. So if I slow down my speaking, it's only because I'm attempting to breathe.
Well, we want you to breathe. I know.
Breathing is important,
Going to meditation, and just real, I wanted to touch on that with what you're saying, Steve, on the what it does for your brain. We've interviewed Norman Rosenthal a couple times on our show, and his books, he's part of the David Lynch Foundation, and he wrote Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. And he really got into the science of it. And I geeked out on this, and I'm not really good at that real scientific stuff, but it was real proof and evidence that meditation really fixes your brain waves and your memory goes up and good for your soul. I mean, all of these things.
Yeah.
And we had this, he's put on a couple times. We've done a lot on transcendental meditation. But I really want to go and do it. I haven't done it yet.
Well, to Shelley's point, I think it may mean different things to different people, or at least people can exercise it in a different way. I'm a terrible cook. The only thing I bring to the table is my appetite. But when I'm out,
we need you.
We need people like that.
But when I'm out by myself with the camera, it's an entirely different thing.
Yeah. Well, can I give you my appetite? So you have double the appetite. I have an appetite problem, apparently, over this last year. Apparently, I need to do a lot more hiking. I don't know. But something happened at all the bed and breakfast we stayed at. They fed us well. They really did.
Like, here, have some more. And like, oh.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, what's it look like in Sherman Oaks today? Is it spring? Do you get it? Because I know California, Southern California in spring. We're going to be there soon. We're going to be in Central California in the end of middle of next month. We're heading home. Mm. And I just remember the hillsides being green with poppies you know, all those beautiful wildflowers. Is it a little too early for that, or are you getting them yet?
Oh, they're just starting. They're just starting. Mm-hmm. And today was about 66 degrees. My granddaughter and I went to the farmer's market. It was such a gorgeous, beautiful day. I mean, the sun is shining. Okay. It's been raining on and off for the last couple of weeks, which we really desperately have needed. And it's just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. The air, especially during this pandemic, the air quality is so good because there's not that many cars on the road, but they're all starting to come back over here. So, it's just stunning, gorgeous, beautiful. Yeah.
Cool.
We're in Lubbock, Texas, and Texas has been interesting in weather. Let me put it this way. Like, we've had the big freeze here, and everybody thought we were nuts because we were we went to Dallas for a weekend, and then we went to the Texas Hill Country. We stayed at Black Buck Lodge, you guys. It was amazing. They'll be on our show on Friday, March 26th. We'll be doing a show about this. It's the cowboy capital of the world, and it's because of the big cattle that happened all the way to Canada. But and there are cowboys. There are truckloads of cowboys. Like, serious. We went into the town of Bandera, which is the capital, and we went to photograph the courthouse because we're doing a story on courthouses, and I turned around and I'm like, dude, like, real dudes.
Dude.
Everybody was carrying on, and I know people who garden and everything in Texas, and they're all like, oh, you know, the freeze has killed everything. And Nancy and I went hiking in two state parks. And, I mean, it wasn't time, but we saw ferns popping out. We saw little flowers that we didn't know about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all different. Mm. And I saw cactus, which I've been missing sorely, literally. Mm. But flowers are coming back, but it has been windy. We went to Austin, beautiful sunny day. We sat outside with dogs that we were taking care of, had wine in the sun with wonderful dogs, and this wonderful garden, a certified National Wildlife Habitat, Wildlife Federation certified backyard habitat, where you plant native plants and put shelter and water so that you can, you know, take care of bees and wildlife and birds. It was really magical, and they had red bud and bloom everywhere. Mm. And that's what we see here spring-wise. I mean, Nancy, it is pretty here once the wind goes away.
Yes. The wind is just really kind of, but then it calms down. You run outside, and then it comes back, and you run inside, and you're like, well, there's exercise for you.
It's sowing seed. It's sowing seed. We need the wind to propagate.
We need the wind. Yeah.
We need that, but it's beautiful. Spring is beautiful. But I want to get to our favorite part of the show is Champagne Sundays is a toast. And every Sunday, whether or not we're doing a show, or you do not need champagne at all. We just like bubbles and we like wine. But we raise a glass to something that is positive, something that makes us happy. Of course, the world has been sad with the pandemic, with all the drama but there is always something good. No matter how bad it is, there's always something good. Even Anne Frank wrote about it, and she knew there was always something good out there. And so that's what we do. And so I want to ask each of you what your champagne toast is. And we'll start with you, Nancy, since this is your tradition. And I also want to know what your favorite spring food and drink is, because, you know, we would serve it to you if we were all in person. But, Nancy, let's start with your toast.
Okay, so one of my favorite people, and actually two people that I'm really curious about, is a journalist, Henry Morton Stanley. Today, in 1871, is the day he found missionary and explorer David Livingston. And if we ever make it back to Africa, want to do that whole trail, like where he started and how he found him. I want to go there. I don't know what it is about these two guys wandering around looking an African, and they actually met, and he found him. And I really don't know how he found him. I think it would make a great, I know there's been several movies, but I'm looking for someone who used to be a journalist to write a good book about him.
Hey, I wish I knew somebody.
I wish you knew somebody.
Hello.
He's so like, no.
Set up. Total set up. Well,
yeah,
I wanted to back you up on that, Nancy. Yesterday, well, you know,
it's
I'm on Twitter, and my main reason to be on Twitter is to follow William Shatner. But anyway.
Okay.
It is going boldly
where no man's ever been.
It was March 19th. I don't know if it was David Livingston's birthday. I think it was. I put a quote of a day up on Twitter. And it is, I will go anywhere as long as it be forward. I love that quote.
These two men are special, and I just feel like there should be a more updated movie, and I would like to pick the cast.
Steve, do you know anything about writing screenplays?
the closest I've come is I've written trailers for my books. So when we did the book,
I thought it would
be an interesting way to do promotion would be to create a book trailer. So we actually grabbed a scene from each of the books and got actors and wrote a script and had music and the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
So that's as close as I've gotten though.
They're good. Yours are effective. You're effective. I think you having a journalism background, that's why you're a communications dude, director. You get right to it. You get right to it.
My first newspaper editor taught me something that I've carried throughout all my careers. And he said, if you ever want anyone to read your stories, you have to answer two questions right up front. Why does it matter and why should I care? And if you get that, if you get your arms around that, then you're one step ahead of the game, I think.
I like that.
Love that.
Nancy, I need to go edit what I just sent you. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, I missed this one part. I should have punched this home. Well, I toast to David Livingston, Henry Morton Stanley. I celebrate that toast with you, Nancy. But what are you going to eat and drink for your spring party?
Oh, let them eat cake.
Shelly will like that. She could make them.
I'm kind of experimental with food, and if it looks good, I'll try it. And so sometimes I just want something brand new that I've never had before just to see. But there are lines. It's like I don't like body parts.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Body parts.
That sounds interesting.
I don't like internal organs of animals. So, I don't like that.
Don't you think it's funny that we're so selective as to which part of an animal we'll eat?
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it?
Like, we won't eat this and we won't eat that.
I'll only eat chicken beaks from now on.
Chicken beaks?
That's so funny.
Beaks.
It kind of goes along with different cultures and what body parts they're allowed to show. In India, you're not allowed to show your shoulders or your ankles, especially for women. But you can show your midriff.
Yeah.
And so they wear these, cholis, which are these short little shirts over under a sari, and their midriffs will be out. But you cannot show their shoulders or their ankles. In the Jewish tradition, if you go into a synagogue, of course, you cannot show your shoulders. So there are certain body parts in different cultures. And look at when you wear in the Arab countries, you can't show for a woman hardly anything, only your eyes.
Right. Right.
So
well, when you think about, the Muslim culture with your mouth is covered and everything, I always wonder if they knew like a pandemic was coming and it was part of health and protecting women, protecting women. I think in a way there's maybe we just need to explore more. I don't know, but I love saris. I think it's from living in Africa. That it's just,
Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to an Indian market, there's nothing like an Indian market, mm-hmm. man. It's
yeah.
oh,
mm-hmm.
all the spices mm-hmm. and then all the textiles mm-hmm. and oh yeah, man, I love a good Indian
colorful,
market.
It smells good.
So Nancy, are you going to drink something different, or are you going to continue with champagne for spring? You like you just you'll eat anything other than liver and tongue and
yeah
kidneys.
And I could just stick with wine and champagne, and water's good once in a while.
That helps. Mm-hmm. That helps. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, so Shelley, what is your champagne toast? What are you happy about?
Well, first of all, I'm drinking, I got into drinking sparkling water, flavored
mm-hmm.
sparkling water.
Mm-hmm.
And I become kind of particular as to which flavors I like. Some are too sweet, some are this. I feel like Goldilocks. But I just find them refreshing, and they make me think like I'm drinking a soda, but they're no soda.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and there's zero
good.
Calories and zero sugar. And so that's what I'm having, a Pellegrino right now. Here's a
ooh,
plug for Pellegrino. Dark Morello cherry and pomegranate flavor.
Ooh.
That sounds
ooh.
Good.
That sounds
so
good.
I'm having a little sparkly as my champagne. And the food, I think if I was doing a spring brunch, I would make a quiche. I would make a big, long, big, huge quiche, an egg souffle, more like an egg souffle with spinach and maybe even some zucchini and broccoli and sauteed onions and just mix that whole thing with some beautiful cheeses and stuff and serve that with some maybe little French fried onions on the top and some little
when
French
are you opening
fries.
A bed and breakfast? When is Shirley?
I know, right?
The Wizard. Just call it the Wizard.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
the
a good name.
The Wizard.
The Wizard. I love it.
That's cool.
I love it. That's a great idea. Yeah. And
in for some Zen moments with Shelly.
There you go.
There you go.
And I feel extremely grateful today because for a year, you know, I've not been able to really be with my daughter, my son-in-law, my three grandchildren. And they only live 10, 15 minutes away. And I'm vaccinated. I just did it because she wouldn't be with me if I wasn't vaccinated. And even though I have some mixed beliefs about it all, I figured, you know what, I'm going to be vaccinated because I want to be with my family. And I may walk around altered and whatever. We don't really know all the ramifications. But I feel grateful because my daughter's house is being repaired from leaks and so on. So all of them are in my little apartment for the next 2 weeks. I've got – and I'm sitting in my closet right now. And my granddaughter – and they brought their three dogs, a two-bedroom apartment, three dogs and five people. Twin grandchildren, 15-year-old, and a granddaughter, 11. And I'm just so grateful that I get to hug them. I get to be with them. And it makes me so happy. So I toast to all the families who get to be together once again and get to hug each other once again and get to be a human being in the way that we're meant to be, social creatures, loving creatures, and being able to love up on each other. So I'm extremely grateful about that.
Love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Steve.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think there's going to be a wave of joy, a ripple effect that goes around the world. We're all going to start feeling all giddy, and we're going to wonder what it is. Is everyone getting back together? You know?
Yeah.
Reunions. I think that's what's going to happen in tourism. We're going to have family reunions across the country and like celebrations of the eloped weddings, you know what I mean? But it'll still probably be smaller gatherings, you know? So that I love that. I love it. Steve, what about you? What are you toasting to and what's on the table?
So let me give you a little perspective first. So I work with probably 20 to 25, 6, 7 people a week in the various either life coaching or communications training that I do. And one of the things that I've noticed is that as I'm doing my work and I'm leading them through whatever I'm training them on, is that there's been a high cost to having to stay at home so much, whether it's just have to work, but the kids are around because they're not in school, or as Shelley was saying, not being able to visit with family. And so, you know, people, I believe, are pressing on as best they can. But I also think it's no secret that it's been very isolating and it's taken a toll. Mm. So my toast, and I hope it doesn't sound cheesy, but my toast is this. May all the storms you weathered during COVID, and this is for all our listeners out there, may all the storms you weathered during COVID lead to a new beginning and a rich appreciation for all the years that lie ahead.
Very good.
I like it.
Beautiful.
I like it. I like it. It's not cheesy at all. That's not.
I love
cheesy. I love cheese, and I love cheesy cheese. Stringy,
I
melty,
cheesy.
Cheesy
I
cheese.
I love it all.
I want cheese now. So are,
oh,
what's on your platter? Are you eating cheese? what are you eating and drinking for spring? What's your favorite?
I'm very uncomplicated. I like a good seasonal beer. And so that's about as exotic as I get with that.
I
will
didn't
tell
and
you
it was
that.
Such a thing.
That's
the first
beer.
Time I ever heard of that. What's
oh,
that?
No, breweries
yeah,
do
no.
seasonal beers. It's awesome.
Wow.
Right. And it's supposed to catch a hint of the season in the taste.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Food with that? Are you eating with your beer, or are you getting one of those really big beers, those giant beers?
So here's what I'll say. We have one of our children, our son, just moved back into his old neighborhood, my neighborhood, with his wife and daughter, one of my five granddaughters. And I have another daughter who lives in the area as well. And so we had a potluck dinner last night, and everybody brought something, and it was really, I mean, I have to say, like restaurant quality stuff. So
nice.
Again, what I bring to the table is a good appetite. So I just really enjoyed the chicken and the orzo and the salad.
Ooh, orzo.
Yeah, it was just really nice.
I haven't had orzo
all,
for a while.
Most of all, just having everybody together for a little bit. That was great.
Yeah.
It is that. I mean, you could make a really messed up meal, which I'm prone to do. But if you're having a good time, it's like, okay, get the water. Because normally it's like too spicy or something. But, you know, if it's me. But it is about the what's happening around the table together with everyone. But, Steve, on the beers, Asheville, we were in Asheville. Your daughter lives out there. And that's Beer City USA. That's fascinating with all the beer out there. I mean, that's like brewery haven. I mean,
I know.
You start hopping down the street when you get there.
it's
awesome.
Well said.
I know. I'm feeling springy
She's
and silly.
Hopping.
I know. It's spring. You know, it's like little bunnies are hopping. My toast today is to resilience because spring is that. To me, it's about resilience and moving forward and hope and joy. Because when you see green, I have a thing about meadows, like when you see a good meadow and wildflowers are there, it's like towards the end of spring and into early summer, you'll get them. You just want to get out there and roll and just, I don't know, I feel animalistic with that. It's weird. But it is about that fresh, new growth. And I think Dallas and not just Dallas, Austin, Texas, I should just say Texas after this big freeze. And when we saw those wildflowers, I knew that would happen. Nancy and I have been through a lot of wildfires when we lived in California. And the same thing happened. Flowers came up that you wouldn't have seen if it wasn't for the fire. And so it kind of looks like you look at COVID, you look at the issues that everyone are arguing and some of the really brutal bad things that are happening, resilience pays off and resilience and hanging in there, even when you get to that moment when you think you can't bear another day of winter. Summer does come. Spring does come. Fall does too. It's really cool. But, you know, so things do move forward. Nothing stays the same, which is why I'm so glad you both are on the show today to talk about change, because it just spring, that beginning of spring shows resilience is there. We all have the resilience gene. We just got to tap in. And so spring, that's my toast, is resilience. We all have it. Nature has it. And that's our, to me, our biggest guide in life is going to nature to to witness that. You know, everyone's got gods and different things. But when you go to nature, that's it right in front of your eyes. If you look, she will always show you resilience is there. So I toast to that. And I'm toasting with a beer too, but you know what? This is not going to be a cool craft brew thing. Listen, we're in Texas and I have some really kick-ass salsa. Like, I mean, it is some good hot stuff, and it does make you want to go around and kick things. It's like, it's good. And having that and just having like this kind of food makes me just miss Mexico and really good chilaquiles. I mean, that is like my, other than Eggs Benedict, my favorite breakfast dish, lunch dish, dinner dish, chilaquiles with eggs on top. Got to be done right. With, everybody's got their different salsa. It's like a mole if you want. It's the right salsa or sauce, like chile verde or however you want it, green or rojo, whatever. I don't care. Either one is good. I want them all. You can go to Santa Fe and have Christmas and have them both. It's awesome. And so chilaquiles with eggs, it's a little filling. And I want a good Dos Equis or a Modelo. Now you put a little black pepper on top of your beer. Like, I just feel Mexico right now for some reason, and I'm like totally into that mode, and I would like some now. There it is. Yeah. You know, I love beer is good once in a while, man. It's really good. So, all right. So we've got our food. We've got our seasonal, what's going on in the neighborhood, all of that. But let's talk about spring, some of your favorite things to do. Do you have traditions? Do you have, you know, activities? Like, Shelley, you just went out to the farmer's market. Do you do specific just for fun or in your professional world?
I do not specific things. I think I probably come out more, you know, certainly after this pandemic and being hibernating. I feel like a bear. I've been hibernating and cocooning, but I did write the book during the pandemic, so that was a big, big, huge plus. I probably would not have done that, would not have done it if not been for the pandemic, because I'm such a hands-on grandma. But I think more hikes. I'm going to do more hikes. I just discovered a new place right here, very close to my house, which I've never even been before. It feels like I'm in Northern California. And so I'm going to do more hikes and take my grandkids out on picnics if they want to still be with me. I mean, you know, they're 15 and 11, but thank God for me. They do like to be with me. So that's a plus.
That's
so
awesome.
More walking
hiking
outside,
is good.
Being outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing I think the pandemic taught people too is, you know, the great outdoors, getting outside, the importance of a walk, you know. That's really cool. And people are discovering their neighborhoods more through the pandemic.
Yeah.
There are good things like that. So, yeah, hiking and picnics. Hey, you're talking our language. And if it's right behind your house, you really should open the whiz in. I'm just saying.
Exactly. I love that. I'm not
Gotta walk that quiche
that
off, man.
So
I'm
cool.
telling you. I know. After all the quiches and Benedicts and all. Yeah, I know. You got to hike. Got to hike. What about you, Steve? Is it spring, is it different photography for you, or what's your thing?
Well, there's always the capturing the change of seasons is a lot of fun, and I agree with you. I mean, one thing that COVID forced was, because we couldn't travel, is to learn a lot more about what's outside the front door. In my neighborhood, turns out that it was built around a big forest, and there are a lot of trails that we had never even explored, and interesting looking creeks. And of course, all of that changes with the season. So there's that to play around with. And the other thing that I love to do is play tennis. So I'm in the process of moving from indoor tennis all winter long to outdoors. And that's always it's just so nice to be outside. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I love tennis too. I used to play as a kid on a farm in Ladysmith, South Africa. After our Nancy's tour, we landed at a farm, there was this tennis court, and it was all bumpy and weeds growing through cracks. I mean, it was like uneven pavement. But it's a farm tennis court, And I had the most fun.
And
we'd
donkey.
Take our little music. And the donkey, Mr. Magoo, donkey would come up and bray while we were trying to play.
Oh, Mr. Magoo, I love it.
Mr.
So
Magoo.
Funny.
Yeah.
They
it was cool.
Talk about pictures. We need some pictures of this.
No, that's,
yeah.
See the donkeys, like, every time somebody missed a ball, some donkey would go, bah!
I know. We saw donkeys on our way to Lubbock. That's the thing,
that's
man.
So
it's this is cool. So, Nancy, for you, what are you looking forward to this spring? My gosh.
Oh, you
like,
know me. I, you know, in winter, winter's cold and windy.
She's a baby.
And I'm, you know, but the one thing I know about winter is when the trees lose their leaves, you can see where the nests are. So for me, I like to be, like, go around and I remember there's a nest over here and see if it's habitated, you know. And now we know the baby birds are going to come out. I love that. I just, you know, when the mommy's all nested in and she's telling her husband, go get some food, darn it. Yeah. You know, and once in a while a male bird will sit on the nest and they pinch it there like that. But you, when the foliage is there, you can't really see as much as that. This period from, like, winter's down on its way out, they're nesting and the leaves aren't full yet to hide everything. So for me, I'm always looking up, which is why I trip on uneven pavement a lot.
She does. I do. But I'm looking forward, like, to me, when we were driving up here, I saw it, like, little baby lambs and little baby goats and horses were running. And, we, you know, they all say feeling the full
they
of prong. The joys of spring. But there is, I know that's naughty, too. I mean, it's a happy time, but there's that – the weather in spring is so neat to me, and it's always changing. And I love those seasons where one day it's summer, one day it's winter, one day it's in between. Sometimes it's raining. You know, it's like it's in that tweener zone. But it's so cool because when those perfect spring days happen, you get that little bit of a cool breeze, and animals just react to it. And they start, you know, the little babies are running around in fields and paddocks and pastures, and and it could be deer, like running baby deer. It's so cute. Babies. It's all about the, and because they remind us to be happy and to frolic as human beings. There's no reason why we can't still jump in puddles and dance around in the rain.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just saying it's fun.
I'm with you.
We got to do it. We got to do it for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit on, you know, personal, professional lives. Both of you are in that world of helping people move forward. And, you know, being human, like you talk about that, Shelley, especially with your book and everything you're doing at Soul Diving Institute. But right now, when you think about spring, what do you think people, what would you recommend for folks? Because it's a time of freshness and newness, and I think there's a lot of fear that comes with that and a lot of excitement. But what would you recommend for folks at this point of going into a season? People are slowly coming out of COVID. It's, you know, it's still scary and it's still going to take time. All of that's still going to take time. But what are you thinking for folks around the world right now?
Well, what I'm thinking, I mean, I come from the belief and the perspective that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And it's the human part that's the bumpy ride. And so when we can change the way we perceive, like put on different lenses, to view life and just look from maybe a different perspective that we didn't take into consideration before, it helps us to expand our awareness of the possibilities of how to be a human being. Maybe make a decision on what kind of human being do you want to be? Do you want to be a kind one? Do you want to be a thoughtful one? Do you want to be, you know, an adventurous one? I mean, what kind of human being do you want to be? Do you want to hold on to the past? And think about all this stuff that keeps us trapped, you know,
makes you fat,
keeps us fearful, and make you fat, right?
It does.
And so I think to be able to blossom open our thinking and to change our way of thinking and the way in which we think and what we think is really important. I'm also a life coach, and I can totally relate to you, Steve. And I'm also a deaf midwife. So it gives me a different perception of life because being with people at the end of their life and knowing that we're born with an inhale, we die with an exhale, and what are all the inhale and exhale in between? What do we do with those? How, and they're so immediate because, you know, this could be the last breath. So how do we want to live? What intentionality are we bringing to our everyday life? And certainly we can bring, certainly we're going to have it because it's our instinct to have that. It's our survival mechanism. How do we jump out of those first three centers of our survival into our heart and into our soul and into directing our mind from the heart and soul, not from the mind, so that we can live from the inside out, and just offering different ways of doing that.
Mm. I like that.
Cool.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And different ways. Mm. And discover, think about who you want to be. And as soon as you say that, I go, okay, are you an angry person? Like I am right now because of what's going on with my computer. But how long do I want to stay that way? As soon as you guys all called in, I'm like, I can't do that. It's Champagne Sundays. I can't be like all angry at my computer anymore. It's like, how long do you want to hold on to that? Because you do. I can start, I get all puffy. Like that's what I mean about saying fat. I don't mean it to be, I'm just saying, I'm talking about myself. It's like as soon as you're upset about something or stressed, you know, and I think we have to make those choices, and there's all the reasons of why we could be angry or stressed or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's that, you know, consciousness that we we can tune into.
It's like buying, right, that's right. It's like buying, when you buy a red car, then you see red cars everywhere. It's what you put your consciousness on. Where do we focus on our life? And certainly we can focus on all the external factors, all the fear factors. There's no question about it. We have that choice. And my suggestion is to focus on the things that we really do want, like the quote you said about moving forward. You know, like the quote, it's about looking towards what we want and not away from what we don't want.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And you said red car, right? Red sports car. Is, you know, one of my most favorite songs in the world is
there
Who Drove This?
Drove the red car?
No, who let the dogs out? No, who drove the red sports car? It's by Van Morrison, and it's an old blues thing that I used to play in our band years and years ago. But anyway, now I'm gonna have to play that later because said red sports car.
Reminded
and
you. Right.
I know, but it's true. I love what you're saying, Shelley, and everyone. Again, I just want to give a shout out to Shelley. Go to her website, souldivinginstitute.com, and her book is "What Do You Bring to the Table: A Savory, Sensory, and Inspirational Guide to Living a Yummy, Delicious Life." And now, turning to Steve again, Steve Piacente, everybody, his book is "Your New Fighting Stance: Good Enough Isn't, and You Know It."
Love
go
that.
To stevepiacente.com. Go on Amazon. I know that is such a good title. You can't beat that.
Love that.
You know, really.
Thank you.
Yeah. But, you know, for people, it is a time of change. And I think that's really what you embody as a life coach. And you've gone through major changes in your professional world. And I know you're going to be on a show in the future here. We're going to be doing, recording a segment with you about this, but I think people are feeling on a personal and a professional level going through the season. It is, because spring does have that little ding-a-ling-a-ling. But do you think that the personal, because you're a life coach, right? There's executive coaches, business coaches, but don't you think that like life coaches both put together?
Yeah, and let me first say, I think Shelley and I are in very close alignment on this. I look at this as a great time to do a self-audit. And the way I like to do it is with, we call them empowering questions. So a few of my questions that I would recommend that people ask themselves, you know, what did you learn about yourself during COVID? What's working and what needs changing? And then what's stopping you from changing? When will you begin? How will you do it? What's one small step you can take to begin? And then another part of the self-audit, and this is something I've written about as well, but I wrote a piece for LinkedIn, and the title was 10 Questions When You're Sure You're Right. 10 Questions When You're Sure That You're Right. The actor Alan Alda, I quoted him in this piece, he said that our assumptions are our windows on the world. Scrub them off every once in a while or the light won't come in. So the first three of the 10 questions, when did this assumption become the unassailable truth?
Yeah.
How do you know the source of your information is correct? What's the cost to yourself and others if you're wrong? So
That's journalism, right there.
I do think, you know, we just kind of go along and we don't question things enough sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing with the kicker on the book, that good enough isn't and you know it, but only if you stop to think about it. If you don't stop to think about it, you never question it. So that's why I like spring, because I feel it's a natural time for all this to start taking place.
Season of progression. Because it feels like fall and winter feel like not like death, but it is in a way, but it is part of that cycle and reminds us, you know. And now we're moving into the season of light, which is, so it's kind of that, it's the dawning of Aquarius, man.
Age of Aquarius.
All right.
I love that. Listen, that's why I wanted to do musical theater. Was all because of Hair and the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But
But
now, Shelley, you're into music. We're all into music. Steve.
Yeah.
We want to know about your piano background because of your latest, this
of
short
your
story that you've written. We've got to ask about this.
I love that.
Four Hands. It's in an anthology that's out now. It's an anthology of American writers of Italian descent. It's called A Feast of Narrative. It's volume 3. It's out now. Can people get it on Amazon?
Yeah, they can get it on Amazon.
Cool. Okay, so this story, Nancy and I love this story. You know,
I know.
Thank you.
The sister's sitting at a piano and, you know, the dad, anyway, I don't want to ruin it, but do you know how to play the piano? That was our first question, as soon as we both read.
Yeah. Well, the answer is yes. And the reason I know how is because my father was a pianist in New York. In New York during the late 50s and into the 1960s, if you were to go into any of the big hotels, you would walk toward the back and then there would be a dining room and then a sunken dance floor. And behind the dance floor, there was usually a big, maybe 20-piece orchestra. And my father was the pianist and musical conductor for the Vincent Lopez Orchestra in the Taft Hotel.
Cool.
So that's my background. Whatever creative genes I had mostly went into writing, but he also taught me enough piano to help pay the way through college by playing in wedding bands and bar mitzvah bands and that kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
I love this.
When we see you, when we get to Maryland, listen, we're going to have a jam session. Seriously. Yeah. Come on. This is awesome. Sorry.
So cool.
We love to hear like tidbits of people's histories that are on our show all the time. This is awesome. Okay. Sorry. Now go back to your story. I'm sorry. We just get excited.
No. The quick backstory on the short story is that toward the end of my newspaper career, I decided I wanted to try fiction. And so I tried to get into the Johns Hopkins writing program, and they would not count my journalism writing toward my credentials to get in. So they said, if you want to get in, you have to write 3 short stories and get an A on every one of them, and then we'll let you in. And so I'm sitting downstairs one day, and I'm listening to my 2 daughters play, try to work out this piece that the piano instructor had given them. And I was struggling with the story I was trying to write, and I realized the better story was sitting up at the piano bench upstairs, and I just listened to them fighting and trying to get through it, and that
Love
was
it.
That was how that was born, that whole story.
Awesome. It's a great story, yeah.
It reminds me of when Lisa and I decided we might try having a band.
That was a whole, you can't do that and run a magazine and then your clients are hiring your band and half your bandmates are on drugs and you go, whoopsie. and people are getting arrested and all kinds. I mean, we could literally write a book just from our short stint of having a band. And they broke up in front of everybody, like
on stage.
Right on stage.
Oh,
and
God.
The drummer stood up and said he was going to, his drum sticks. He goes, I'm going to put my sticks right up your nostrils.
To the rhythm guitar.
Could have been worse.
It was great. It was fantastic.
It was really
and
funny.
All the musicians in the audience that knew us knew what was going down, and then there was a section of the audience who thought this was part of the act. Which was
they thought
what
we did on purpose.
No, it's like,
oh,
okay,
now that's even funnier.
Whatever you want to, you know,
funny.
Whatever you want to do. But now, Steve, did you play Mustang Sally at any of your gigs?
Oh, stop!
I have to know.
Yeah, in wedding bands, of course.
Yeah,
we have to play that.
Of course you have
and
to.
Did you always get the free bird?
So
free
funny.
Bird. I'm not tipping in you unless you play free bird. No. Oh,
that
this is great. And
I simply can't remember that one.
Shelly, you have a musical background too, right? You're in the music world as well.
I'm in the music world. I'm in the process of producing a musical play, and it's about teen suicide. And it's uplifting, and the music is incredible. And it's kind of a reinvention of a play that was performed years ago that I produced in the 80s.
Oh.
And we bust in kids from halfway houses, residential treatment centers. They were all pissed because they had to go on a field trip to a stupid play. They wore those leather straps around their neck with spikes, came in with folded arms, really pissed off that they had to be there. And I hate this stupid play. Why don't you go to a stupid play? They came out crying. They left crying.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
They were so opened up. And because music bypasses their critical mind, and it just goes straight to the heart and tells the story of each one of those kids that are troubled.
Mm-hmm.
That nobody hears them, nobody sees them, and they feel so troubled. And, you know, especially now, the suicide rate for teenagers has gone 1,000%.
That's terrible.
Mm. It's horrible.
And, you know, it's just, you know, all this isolation, and social media does and does not help. Both.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And so
that's what I like about what Steve says about how what we put out there in our life, it really does have an effect, you know. Doing the self audit, and what you're talking about is who are you going to be. I think it's important for all ages to take a look at this, you know, and move forward.
Yeah.
But you know. So listen, we're going to close up with some fun, okay? We're going to play the word game, and then we're going to close with music, and then we're going to go cooking with Chef Ivan. So, right. So the two of you, are you ready? We're going to play a game. It's our new game.
Ready.
It's called the word game. And it's really about getting to know each other through and stories. It's storytelling. So we're going to give – each one of us is going to get a word that one of us is going to give each other, if that makes sense. And when you hear the word, immediately what comes to mind of a story of your life, in part of your life, or a sense memory. So we get to all know each other a bit. So, Nancy – we're going to start. You get to be the first person who gets a word, so we all know what happens, and we got to get to it as fast as possible. It's like improv here. And Steve, this is good writing exercise, right? This kind of thing. Here's your word.
Well, we'll see.
I knew it. He wouldn't just go yes. No. Okay, so Shelly, why don't you give Nancy a word?
Oh my God, a word. Smell.
Any word. Smell.
Smell.
Smell. Oh, well, we pitched
it, and
funny.
I know all about smell.
Oh, that's so funny. Smell it, Nancy. Smell it.
I know.
Here we go.
And you're like, I can smell it. I got to find it.
All right. So share a story with
you.
Oh, do it. Go for it. It's a rhino pee. I know it.
Am I supposed to, what did you say?
Yeah, you're supposed to tell the story. Shelly gave you the word smell, and now
you tell the story. Okay, one time I was giving a little talk at a Rotary Club, and some lady stood up in the audience that she was a client at the time, and she goes, "Oh, you're the Rhino Pee lady." Because I had talked about being able to smell rhino pee 2 miles away and being able to tell if it's male or female.
Oh, wow.
And so then I'm like, got known as the Rhino Pee lady. And I mean, it's like, oh, there she, that's that Rhino Pee lady. I'm like, I don't like that.
Well, she can. But that was because of your training.
And you can.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. But I was taught by Joy Adamson, and it took a while. And then, anyway, there's a lot of things you can smell if you can identify with how animals smell, and you'll see how they wiggle their nose and they shift the scent from nostril to nostril, and it's going way too far in. But yeah, I think chefs can do it too.
But we'll ask Chef Ivan when we go to our next segment here.
There you go.
Yeah. Can you smell rhino pee?
Yeah.
Love
well, this
that.
Was when she lived in the... that's because Joy Adamson made her be naked on a rock and blindfolded to sense everything around her in the middle of the bush in Kenya when she worked for her.
Yeah.
And you learned smells, everything. You learned all your senses immediately.
She said I would learn real fast, and you really do. If you're blindfolded and naked on a rock in a country you know, that you're not used to, your senses... They have better be there. And if that's an exercise. It'd be fun to do that with people in this country because they'd be so outraged. Mm-hmm. But she was
Alrighty.
My boss, and it was like, there you go. I had to do it. Yeah. So I did it.
Well,
it
that's
scary.
Really
that
springy.
Great.
That's a springy one. So Nancy, you get to give a word to Shelley.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait. I got it wrong.
Oh.
Sorry. You've got to give a word to Steve. Yeah, otherwise I'm going to get it all out of the sequence.
Oh, okay. A word to Steve.
I can't do smell?
No. Okay, but you can do taste.
Taste.
Mm-hmm.
I think that taste is one of our most powerful senses. And let's see, what's a story with taste? Okay, every once in a while, my wife makes a good Italian dinner, and her recipe for sauce comes from my mother, who got it from my father's mother. Going back decades. But I still remember being a small boy and visiting my grandmother's house when she would make that dinner. We called her Nana. And when my wife makes that sauce, it brings me right back there more than 6 decades ago.
Yeah.
That's how powerful
that's
I think
great.
This is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Steve,
yeah.
That's good.
Cool.
That is good.
Good one.
I am so hungry. And then to have Chef Ivan at the end of the show, I mean, you know, this is a dangerous show. We need to take a walk after this, Nancy. We'll stumble around. Okay.
And
so
say that the house smells quite good when she makes the sauce, by the way.
See?
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I always tell, because we're with house sitting everywhere, I'm like, you have to put the fan on, Nancy. The house is going to smoke. She's like,
put the fan on. I'm like, no, I want to smell the food.
Right.
So, Steve, you get to give me a word so I can give Shelley a word.
Okay. Your word is compassion.
Ooh, compassion, awesome. Compassion. Wow, as soon as I hear the word compassion, I think about compassion for animals. And, you know, just all the places and people that help animals. And I would say compassion takes me to Kenya. I was right back there to the orphanage where, and they're still going to this day, where they take injured animals in. And it was one of the times where they're a real sanctuary. Like we just did an interview on the Wild Animal Sanctuary in Colorado, where it's a true sanctuary, not one of those that breed animals to hunt them later. This is a true sanctuary where injured animals go. So the orphanage and the Colorado Sanctuary are two sanctuaries where you can be there. The one in Colorado was really great because they make you walk on a skywalk so that you're not disturbing these animals that are, they have their forever home. They've rescued animals. This guy, Pat, started this when he was a teenager in his backyard to save animals also from zoos, because zoos also breed animals and keep them in the back. And then, anyway, I don't want to get into the whole thing. But he had compassion to save these animals. He saved animals from circuses. We saw two bears that were taught how to smoke, and they had to get them off of smoking.
They were,
you know, as a rescue.
Nicotine.
But they're in these places. This guy has this compassion. They have the largest amount of carnivores in the world in what they've rescued. But it just shows compassion. One little seed of compassion, how it can grow. Kenya was at, like, when I, that's when I think I realized, even though, I mean, I was a very, very young kid, and seeing that, that always had an impact, that you can do something. And there were really young babies. I remember young rhinos, baby elephants, and being very young, like 4 or 5, like, why are you in this place? Why aren't you out with your mommies and daddies in the wild, which I'd seen? And then you see these people just, they live with the animals. Like, they will be the mom and dad. Like, the game wardens will sit there and sleep with the elephants and sleep with the rhinos and bottle feed them until they can be, they're like surrogate parents. Anyway, it's that's it. Like, it's these sanctuaries that are true sanctuaries, not zoos, that really do those things to me that just, it moves me. To just be as much as we can, not just for animals, but humans as well, obviously. I just put us in the animal place too, but all right. Wow. Yeah. Now I want to talk about baby animals all day. good word, Steve. I love that word. So Shelly. Yeah. Thank you. Shelly, your word, I know we'll get back into food again here. This is,
you don't have to.
Let's see. Your word, spontaneity.
Ooh.
Oh, my favorite word. My favorite, one of my favorite words. I love words. And spontaneity is definitely one of my favorite words. All right, so spontaneity, that brings me back to when I was about 16 years old, 17, and I lived in West Los Angeles, right near the 20th Century Fox Studios.
Oh, cool.
And my girlfriend and I went to play pool, and they let us in, even though you were supposed to be 18. And for some strange reason, I was a really good pool player, and I would go out on a date with these big football players, and I would beat their little butt in pool, and they could not believe that I could beat them in pool. Anyway, so that same night, we were driving home, and it was quite late, and we saw a bunch of lights on in the studio, I mean outside. And so they had a chain link fence. So we decided, let's climb over the fence and let's go see what they're making over there. So we climbed over the chain link fence, and then we dropped. You know, it's kind of like in Mission Impossible where you just jump down and you drop and you kneel, right? And so we were behind a bush, and little did we know there was a big spotlight on us, and and they were filming Hello Dolly. And so the police in that time period, and he had a big flashlight on both of us behind this bush. And he said, okay, girls, come out, right? So we got out, and we said, God, what's going on? We're so excited. We're seeing all this stuff. They were eating and everything. He said, well, how would you like to join us and see how the film is made? We said, yeah, we definitely want to do that. So they took us around. They were on a break. They gave us food. And then we watched Gene Kelly dance on the street that they made. And you know, you just never know what's going to happen if you don't be spontaneous. And that is one of my favorite words, is to just go with your instincts and do something fun. That's probably why I bought the one-way ticket to Europe when I was 19.
And, oh, see how that works. I love it.
The phone.
Well, I got in trouble for playing in the country club when I was a kid in Kenya, and all my little friends and I jumped the barbed wire fence down there, and they're like, no, we can't do it. And I'm like, why not? There's a swing set there. Well, it's because they're black kids, and the country club was for white people, and we got chased with the guard came after us with a machete. And we had to run back up the hill over the barbed wire. And I had the giggles, which happens and everything. So I cut my stomach on the barbed wire. Hanging on the wire. And I had to be taken to the hospital for stitches, which I freaked out. I don't know. So, but anyway, that's what happens in Kenya.
Can I just point out that there is no way the gentleman chasing you with the panga was ever going to use it. Their way of teaching children not to jump fences.
I've been chased by many a person with a panga or a machete, you want to call it. A panga blade.
I've chased a person with a panga.
Yeah, you have.
I did with a person that tried to steal our dog, and he lived next door, and he took my dog. And I was in my nightgown. No, this is how Africa is. I was in my nightgown, and our house lady, she said, madam, they steal Simba. That's the dog's name. And I picked up the panga and ran outside and jumped the barbed wire fence and got my dog back. That's how that
went. Yeah, there's a lot of barbed wire fences.
See? Yeah.
Steve, you got any machetes or pangas pangas
I have to confess, I'm at a loss.
But you did. Listen, you work in D.C. You need one.
Yeah, you should have a panga. You need a panga.
A virtual one.
I don't know if you can even carry it. Can you carry a panga in this country? I don't know.
But we have to run. It's been so much fun having you both on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Everyone, again, souldivinginstitute.com is where you go. Where you go to keep up with Shelley. And get her book, What Do You Bring to the Table? A Savory, Sensory, and Inspirational Guide to Living a Yummy, Delicious Life. Keep up with Steve. We'll have him back on the show. And Shelley, they're going to be on their shows all the time.
Cool.
Steve Piacenti, go get the book. It's Your New Fighting Stance, Good Enough Isn't, and You Know It. And keep up with him at stevepiacenti.com. We want to thank you both.
Love it.
Happy spring to you. And we're going to close with, before we bring Chef Ivan on. I know, Chef Ivan, you're waiting for us. Hold on. We're coming. He's going to teach us how to make spiced strawberry bruschetta. So this is going to be great.
Yummy.
But we're going to play a song called Life. It's from our friend Josh Pfeiffer. And it's a beautiful song that just matches our conversation today. It's from his album, American Crooner, Act One. So here it is, Life. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Steve. You take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody. Great to be in touch again.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
My way in the bigger scheme. learning how to understand what my brother's going through. Oh, I hope when all is said and done that I haven't been a fool.
Everyone, again, that was Josh Pfeiffer with the song Life from his album American Crooner Act One. Go to joshpfeiffer.com to keep up with him. One of my favorite songs. That really is. That was a perfect one for our conversation today, don't you think? All right, it's time to finally get Chef Ivan on. I know he's been waiting. We don't want to make him wait any longer. He's a chef, you know. You don't let that food get cold. He'll tell us timing is everything. So I've already failed. But anyway, stay tuned for Chef Ivan. Listening to Big Blend Radio Champagne Sunday Spring Party with Nancy and Lisa, and we're excited to bring our next guest back on the show. It's Ivan Flowers. He's a five-star chef and a culinary instructor. He teaches teens. It's awesome what he's doing. And he's joining us to share his spiced strawberry bruschetta recipe. The recipe is up on blendradioandtv.com now. Go look on Twitter. It's already out everywhere on Facebook. Thanks, Linda Kazam. She's making sure that gets out there. And you can also keep up with all those other recipes and interviews up on blendradioandtv.com as well. It's going to be featured in our upcoming spring-summer issue of Big Blend Radio and TV magazine. But welcome back, Chef Ivan. How are you?
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. Listen, thank you for waiting for so long. We got, you know, we got into storytelling and ran amok, and we're not allowed to do that.
That's okay.
If you're in the kitchen, you're not allowed, but we're not in the kitchen right now.
No,
so it's okay, right?
You're not in the kitchen. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. But in,
cool.
Do you teach that to your kids that you're teaching, like about timing? Like you can't be on your phone and hope that the souffle doesn't burn, you know? Is that a part
kids,
of it?
Teens on a cell phone? Really? Do they do that?
Really? I don't know.
Really? Shocking.
Yes, they do. Sense of urgency. Put the phone down and get your head in the game.
Yeah. Well, does that happen? I know I worked in restaurants too, and like I always know, don't mess with a chef. They will like verbally lambaste you. time, but literally, right? But when in the kitchen, like there's this crazy camaraderie in kitchens and the wait staff and everybody, but there's like jokes and some of them are very colorful. And can you run them? That's how you stand the heat, I think, is the, you know, because it's hot in there, but you can't. The timing to me is amazing. Like, especially if you watch things like Gordon Ramsay, right? Like watching, like, how do you get this meal and that meal all on time so you can bring it out to the table? Like, that's insane. How do you guys orchestrate that?
Everything is timing. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you set a kitchen up, you got to remember a lot of the shows that you watch on TV are train wrecks.
Yes.
Otherwise, nobody would watch them. If it ran really smooth, no one's going to watch it. So, you know, when it's a train wreck, then it becomes entertainment. But the reality in the profession is absolute impeccable timing.
Mm.
And well, never tell Chef Ivan on a reality show not to use butter. We've learned that. That doesn't happen. Wasn't that one thing you did a reality show and then you like, that's it, I'm out of here? Wasn't it because they wanted you to not use butter for a recipe that needed butter? What was that? I can't remember.
I don't remember either. James Beach. It was for the Food Network. No butter, no cream, no fat whatsoever. And, you know, the reality is you can use a little butter and you can use a little cream. And you're eating very small amounts of it, and it gives absolute unctuousness and flavor to the dish. It's not like you're putting tons and tons in. You're actually eating a very small amount. And believe me, there's a lot worse things to eat than a touch of butter and cream.
Like margarine.
Oh, margarine, which is one molecule away from plastic.
Yeah.
So, right, you know.
Yeah,
and it's stored in plastic, too. And butter comes in like wax paper, like real butter comes in.
Yes.
There's a difference.
So who knew
we were going to start on this? Yeah. No, Nancy, you were saying something there, and sorry, we got rolled away.
No, that's okay. No, I just, you know, that's okay. Go ahead.
Oh,
I just wanted to do a quick shout-out to my principal, Crystal Whitley, who is not only an amazing principal, but a lovely, lovely human being. And in these days of remote teaching and remote learning, just a fabulous human being that I'm able to work with.
Is this your champagne toast or part one of it?
No. Champagne toast comes later.
Oh, see, he knows timing here. Okay, but now listen, so this remote, how has it been? I mean, are you doing televised stuff? Are you going? I mean, where are you now, like, as a school? And you guys are in Temecula, California, Southern California with the school. But how is everything going with that?
Remotely, I've done well. I have to be honest with you. I do a lot of demos. I converted the office into a kitchen. And between demos and lecture or watching videos and then breaking them down piece by piece, it's like, hey, I'm going to go on YouTube to learn how to fix my carburetor. You'd be surprised how much can be conveyed through videos, demos, and lectures through the computer a lot.
I have to say well.
That's awesome. And you know what? You have a YouTube channel too, Cooking with Your Pickle. It's like Chef Ivan, Ivan Cooking with My Pickle, the little puppy, you know, little pickle. But it is true. I mean, you do TV. You do radio. You understand how to break it down. And I think, you know, I know that students have had a hard time with remote. I know teachers have, principals, school. I mean, it's just, it's up and down depending where you are in the country. But I know, like, you know, students maybe not in their Zoom meeting. They may be, like, turning the video off and like, oh, I can't, but I'm on my phone. But I have a feeling that when they're watching Chef Ivan, they're like, it's food, man. This is cool. We're hanging out with Chef Ivan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's been a good class, and Temecula Valley High School and Riverside County do a good job. But a lot of students come on and they like to half commit, so you only see them from the nose up, right? A lot of them just don't like to come onto the camera. So I see the nose up, you know? So I'll take it.
Wow.
I'll take it from the nose up. When I don't see the nose and just the eyes, I say, listen, come on, give me at least the nose.
So at that point, that's when you actually
want
computers to be a scratch and sniff little thing so that it's like, here, we're making turkey, smell this. We're back to that word, Nancy.
By the way, it's coming.
Do you think it is?
Yes, it's coming. I do. I truly do. I think there'll be canisters that'll be put in TV and certain things and electronic, and, you know, all of a sudden it'll release smells like the rhino pee.
Oh, no.
You know?
No, here we go, Nancy.
Bacon.
The rhino pee.
There'll be a bacon canister.
But you know what? I think you're right because, okay, so Chef Ivan, Nancy wants to do a segment with you about utensils, You know, we travel the country and we're in different country, kitchens each time. And we're finding things we've never heard of, all kinds of interesting things. Some people really have a souped up kitchen and you're like, what? And then you'll go somewhere and the person, they don't cook. And so there's like, anyway, Nancy's always on like the first thing she gets is the kitchen. You know, this is that we're pet sitting.
Right.
And
yeah.
I have to tell you, we've stayed in, I mean, it's every single place has been awesome. But Nancy's first thing is, where's the coffee? Coffee pots are a whole new thing now. Everybody has a different coffee thing, and I do not want to know about the ninja thing because I don't know what goes on with that.
Yeah,
but I will do
no.
The espresso, the French press thing, there's this whole other way of making
that's
coffee.
That's cool.
Not French press is old, but like there's these – anyway, so there's
the
all these different things.
The French
but Nancy's always – she wants the omelet pan, and that's it.
And
I go for coffee.
A spatula. We've been in kitchens with no spatulas. I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
well,
maybe we just didn't find
the,
it, you know.
The best utensil in a kitchen are your hands. So.
I'm not flipping an egg with my hand.
Yeah.
Oh, but if you did it,
I could just flip
toss
it in the air and see what happens.
Yeah, you use the pan to flip it. You just flip it with the pan.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Ooh,
oh,
what a
new
by
body.
The way. By the way, today is National French Bread and National Strawberry Day.
I noticed. And at the top of the show,
you
I said, Chef Ivan planned this. I was like, did you plan this way to do the strawberry bruschetta? Did you plan this? Did you know ahead?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Wow.
Well, you did
so
good. How cool.
It's very cool.
I never thought of strawberry bruschetta, but I'm into it because of the spice. And and listen, you're in California, Southern California, San Diego County has like the strawberry fields going on right now, right next to the flower fields. And dude, seriously, our friend Andrea, she's retired now, but she had a strawberry farm in Fallbrook, organic.
Mm-hmm.
She did avocados, a lot of lettuce, strawberries. And her strawberries, you just pick them out of, you know, and bite into it, and they were juicy, sweet. What is this? I know we're going to get to the recipe, but thing about strawberries where people soak them in sugar water or whatever, or do something with them. Why are strawberries, like sometimes you bite into them and they're like, your mouth wants to curl up with like a chemically thing or like they're bland. And you know, I want to know about this thing with strawberries. I'm very curious because I love them.
I think if you get strawberries at the right time and they're red and you can smell them, you know, they're incredible. Right when they're at that peak, right when they're ripe, there's nothing like them and they don't need sugar. They don't need anything else. It's
exactly.
when they're over or under that people start adding sugar to fruits.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that if the strawberry is correct. Not at all.
Okay. Okay.
See, my grandmother, Nana, told me, like, if the fruit is bruised, really badly bruised, and it's older than it should be, you make jam out of it. But what you don't
do
is serve it fresh.
Yes. She was right.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I love a good strawberry jam, like ones that actually you can see the strawberries in it, you know, like actual whole strawberries. So what about this sugaring of carrots? What's with that? Why do people put sugar in carrots?
Because America is nuts for sweet, you know, and a carrot when it's correct, especially baby carrots are sweet and naturally delicious. You don't have to put sugar.
Mm-mm.
It's just the American palate, you know, they want sweet.
See, but South Africa, they put sugar in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They really did.
Brown sugar on carrots.
Even if you were like boiling green beans or doing something like that, they always put sugar in there.
Interesting.
And why do people put sugar in yams and sweet potatoes?
Ooh,
they're sweet.
Duck.
And put marshmallows on them.
You know,
I'm still not used to that. The marshmallow thing.
Yeah, me that's sugar overload because if you take a sweet potato or a yam and you roast it slowly, that natural sugar that develops.
Like
as it caramelizes, that's all you need. Yeah,
I like to put caramelization. To me, is the best thing ever. Like onions, red onions, caramelized.
Yes.
Especially
yeah.
if you're cooking them with bacon and mushrooms and garlic.
If you say bacon, everything works.
Well, listen, I want to go back to the smell-o-vision because that's what I was going to say, everywhere we are. So things are, everyone has, everything is hooked up to Google this and that and Alexa do this, do that. And even like scents, people have scent things in their house. Like, so I think you're going to get a scent box and Google or Alexa will say, Alexa, please cue the bacon scent. And Alexa will spray your house with bacon.
No,
that's what's going to happen. Okay. That's how I think they're going to do it. I don't know.
I think that's,
but every,
I think that's how they're going to do it.
But I want real smell-o-vision. I want to smell your cooking.
But yours will not be a boxed up scent. No, but look what just happened with the Roomba, whatever those little round vacuum cleaner thingies are. They had an update, and I didn't even know that they updated themselves. Miraculously, they get updated, and they went crazy for a lot of people, and they're roaming around the house, and they'd find a corner and just keep banging their head, if you can find a head on a round thing.
They're headbangers. They wanted to go back to a concert.
Yeah, they just kept banging their head against the wall until a new update came through. Now, come on.
Right, right.
Seriously.
Right. And then, yeah, if they mess up the update, that's when they climb the stairs and they kill you in your bed.
You no, they jump into a mosh pit of other robo, whatever they are. Like,
seriously,
okay.
People, is this where we're headed?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So this is why cooking is important. And I think this whole pandemic, people have been cooking more and more. I wonder how many parents were watching your cooking instructions, like your cooking videos. During the pandemic, how many parents got into that to learn too? It'd be interesting.
They did.
I bet they.
Yeah, they did.
That's cool.
And I spoke to a lot of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool. Because families cooking together, I think, is awesome. That's, you know, it's like you do this part, I do that part. It's teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to have conversation. You know, because when you have the dinner conversation as a kid, you know you've done something wrong. And you're fidgety about going to the dinner table because you have to make strong eye contact. Now, if you're
the worst time
cooking,
to have that kind
you
of...
could kind of say something was going on while you're holding the knife. I'm cutting this, but Mom, I kind of did this happen, but you're not doing the direct eye contact. Mm-mm, you're done. You can't lie.
Right.
You can't. Yeah. So cooking together gives an even platform of having that open conversation that probably needs to happen of whatever went down or didn't or whatever it is. So I think it's really cool. So let's go to strawberries. So we get, you got to pick the right strawberries at the right time. Look at them. Look at the bottom of the thingy because there's mushy ones at the bottom.
Uh-uh.
And if they get trapped in the bottom of the little baskety thing. So
well,
you got to pick the right one.
Plastic.
So look, you say look for, they've got to be red, ripe, and firm, right?
And they got to smell delicious.
Smell?
This recipe, actually, I remember years ago when I traveled a lot, I was in Rome, and they served me oatmeal with strawberries with balsamic reduction, and I never forgot
really?
It.
Wow, really? Huh.
And was sitting with Tracy, who, you know, is a big influence on my cooking. And she said strawberry bruschetta. So we made the bruschetta. We put the lemon juice and some of the rind into the ricotta. We put spice, and you can use sriracha, Calabrian chili paste, sambal ulek, whatever you want, and then fresh cracked black pepper and sea salt with that balsamic glaze and the creaminess and the citrus of that ricotta. And then that French bread, which is toasted, the dish, it explodes in your mouth. And, it, you know, once salt touches sweet, it just explodes it. And it was like strawberry times 1,000. And it worked.
Mm.
It worked really well. The black pepper just brings it to another level. It's really a strawberry au poivre. When you say
Yeah, this is really interesting when you talk about black pepper. We just did we recorded an interview with Nandita Godboli. She wrote a book, Seven Teapots. seven pots of tea. I'll get it right. And it's coming out on next Sunday, by the way, everyone, you can listen to this. And she's Ayurvedic, and I did a lot of Ayurvedic practices back in the day. And I need to go back because it was healthy, and it was about digestion. And it goes with your digestion and the natural elements and your emotion, your personality, the different doshas of your body. And I learned that eating cantaloupe and watermelon and things, you put black pepper on, and people think I'm weird. But you digest the because melon is actually not that easy to digest. Like people have a problem
fibrous.
With cucumbers. It's fibrous, but you need help breaking that stuff down. And black pepper does it. And I started putting black pepper on cantaloupe. I'll never go back. It tastes so good. There's this sweetness and then that little – and a little crunch if you're doing a freshly cracked, you know. Everybody wants it freshly cracked. So
I should also put a touch – next time on cantaloupe, put a touch of lemon and a touch of salt. When you put lemon, which is an acid, to the sweetness of the cantaloupe, you create what's called a gastric. You then take that gastric, and by putting a touch of salt, it causes it to explode in your mouth.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
If I put
it's
a
delicious.
Teeny sprinkle of cayenne pepper on that, would I be overdoing it?
No, not at all.
Ooh.
Not at all.
Because I think that goes really – I used to make tea with ginger, cayenne pepper, honey, and – like
that's
it would have all the senses, lemon, like all those tastes.
That's Kenyan.
Well, that's Ayurveda too. Is that you have all these tastes, and I think it's six. The Rasa is six tastes: pungent, sour, bitter, or whatever, sweet. Yeah, you have to have these, and there's a taste where you have to have like the earth kind of the mineral taste. Can't explain that. It's
well,
kind of like
the big taste,
you know, people eat soil.
Umami.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the word umami.
Umami. Yeah. Umami is savory.
See, it's meant
is that
to make
when,
you
no,
slow
gonna,
down.
I have something really
eat.
Funny to say, but I won't.
No, sorry, but I was going to say this whole thing is to make you slow down when you eat and not like fast forward as you eat. It's to make sure that the food and the drink tastes, it gets on all parts of your tongue so you can actually relax and taste it properly. That's what I think.
I do, and when you're making something like this, it's like you're doing something unique. So you got. Let me just back up here. Let's do the bruschetta part, right? Bruschetta. How to pronounce it? We'll try.
Bruschetta.
So you're basically
bruschetta.
Taking a baguette, or it could be a sourdough. Be a French loaf.
Yes.
So and then you're going to have that toasted, right? You're going to toast that, or no? Okay.
Yes, you toast.
Before you put the strawberries on.
Well, you toast it. And then you take ricotta, which is the byproduct of mozzarella, and you put in the lemon, and you can even put in some of the zest. You put the ricotta on the lightly toasted bread, and then you take the sriracha, you mix it with lemon with the strawberry, put that on the ricotta, and then finish with sea salt, fresh cracked black pepper, lemon zest, and then balsamic reduction.
Cool. And you say part skim ricotta. Is that for a specific reason or health reason?
I mean, less fat. You can do whole. It doesn't matter.
I was thought of
you want the ricotta dry. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, a little dry.
You want the ricotta. You don't want it wet. If it's a little wet, you put it in a strainer overnight and let it drain a little bit.
Okay.
And then you mix it up and you make it really creamy. Yeah.
Now, could you do this with provolone cheese?
Provolone cheese.
Because provolone is interesting to me because it's almost like it's like a little bit tartar than mozzarella. It's just this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just always thought it was a really good deli cheese.
I like provolone. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd go with something whipped and creamy. That where you know. The citrus isn't really going to go into the provolone where it's going to infuse into the ricotta. It's quite different.
So just to have a little melding party. We were filming a video on how to make mozzarella, and I think we were all maybe having a little champagne and giggly and did something with the water, and it turned into ricotta. And we couldn't use the video. It wasn't we weren't making it, but we were helping. And I have to tell you, it was really good. And we sat there eating, you know, and just freshly made ricotta with crackers. It was so good. And we continued having more wine and said, well, we can't use the video, but we sure can all sit here and have wine and eat the ricotta. It was so good.
So
but it was so
it
interesting.
It wasn't a waste of time.
It wasn't. But it was this making the mozzarella and kneading it and doing the water thing. It's actually really easy, and it can go into ricotta. And they were even saying, if you do this at this point, it will turn into ricotta. And probably because we're all
–
like a blooper giggle here and there, that's probably what happened. But it was, to me, it was really interesting watching the process. It was, you know, at home, it was actually on a farm, and they make their own cheese from their own cows. They're like, we live on the land. And it was really cool because they don't let anything go to waste. They make everything that they can. They make their own soap. They make their own everything. They're like, it was cool. It's like homesteading lessons. And they're like, okay, well, it was supposed to be. We should just let it happen, but
we should
just put it out there because it was really cool. But I was amazed how easy it was actually to make your own cheese, and then you know where it's from, you know. So that was a good eye opener. Do you make your own cheese ever, like mozzarella and?
Oh yeah, mozzarella is so easy. It's mozzarella, curd, and salted water. And then if you want to add cream to that, then you make stracciatelle, which is more of a creamy mozzarella along the lines of a burrata. But very, very simple. Yeah, it's very simple.
So this whole recipe to me appeals to me because I'm not good with raw tomatoes. And I like strawberries. But I do like heirloom tomato. I'll do like a few pieces and then I'm done. Like I've had my moment. But this is – you could turn around and say, okay, I'm going to take this recipe – and change it up. I always, you know, we always talk about this. You could do this with tomatoes, right? Like a nice big juicy heirloom.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, for sure.
What about nectarines?
Cucumbers, nectarines, mangoes.
I had to do that because we were playing the song Nectarine. I had to bring that up, you know. Well, nectarines do start coming into season in the spring, depending on where you live. You know, but berries like strawberries, I wonder about even doing like blueberries or blackberry. Would that be too sweet?
No. I think the balsamic would balance it out with the salt and the pepper. Yeah.
Kind of like people make that feta and watermelon salad.
Yeah.
And
I'm not a big
good.
Fan of feta. I like French feta. Greek feta is a little too salty for me. French feta is more creamy and mellow. Yeah, Greek feta is
like
a little overwhelming.
I like goat cheese that hasn't been oversalted, so it's like still moist.
Yes.
I said moist.
Yes.
You said moist.
Letterkenny's four.
Oh,
anybody's
boy.
Watched
here
Letterkenny. Anyway, sir. Anyway.
How about blueberries with Swiss cheese? That kind of interests me. That
blueberries with Swiss cheese.
Yeah. So weird, Nancy.
No, I think it would be... I think it's either going to be really good or really bad.
I don't know. Yeah. Swiss cheese to me and ham goes together.
Because
you could do Swiss and ham and then your blueberries or bacon.
Yes.
You need the salt in there.
Salty.
I need salt. You cannot have the Swiss. Swiss is the only cheese I find absolutely weird. Like I love every cheese, but when I get to Swiss, I'm like,
it's just sitting there waiting for somebody to bring it alive with something
else. I think Swiss is nutty, buttery. I think Emmental, Jarlsberg, Cave Age Swiss is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So what do you do with it? Like, would you just eat it plain? Or, like, to me,
I like it in a fondue. I like a Swiss fondue.
Oh, now that works.
Yeah, where you make it all creamy and you can dip different things into it. But I adore Swiss.
Ooh, and fondue is still good in the spring season.
Fondue is good anytime.
Does anybody do fondue anymore now with COVID?
Well, maybe not. Well, if you have your loved one.
Well, your own family can do it, but.
Yeah, it can be an intimate little, you know, thing.
We used to do that all the time with Angel food cake and chocolate. And cherry.
With rum in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chocolate sauce with rum.
Yeah, and
okay.
cherry.
We've gone off onto another land. You could put strawberries in the fondue pot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See if
oh,
you
yeah.
can. A little bit of turkey and Swiss.
I would put
that
it in a chocolate fondue.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
with
yeah.
bits of bacon.
Probably a spiced chocolate fondue. With like a little bit of citrus overtone and
yeah.
dip a strawberry in that would be
I'm
fabulous.
Serious.
Mm-hmm.
The chocolate,
a little bit
hot
of bacon.
Chocolate with really good pepper. When we were in Santa Fe, we went to a chocolate house and they made like Mayan and Aztec. It was like drinking chocolate. They didn't even call it hot chocolate. It was different. And it was like an elixir. And I had this drink because a lot of them, they put almonds and they're like nut milks and whatever. And I'm allergic to that. So I just had this really powerful, it was like a chocolate espresso almost, but it was dark chocolate and pepper, cayenne pepper. And it was like a
combination.
Mayan. And they used it before they went to battle. And I had a sip of this, and I had my little cup, like a little espresso cup. Dude, I stood up, and I'm like, dude, let's run back to the hotel. I'm ready. Like, I felt like Rocky going up steps. I'm like,
it
dude,
riled her up.
I really, like, my whole body got hot and
like
whoa. It wasn't just hot and warm. Like, I wish I had that when we were in Wisconsin with the snow. I was just like, let's
oh, that's
go.
A good idea.
Like, charge. You know, it was crazy, like, how your body changed just according to a couple of ingredients. Like, it's weird.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That is the most powerful feeling I've ever had from food of, like,
yeah.
Yo.
So eat it before you have your next driver's test and see what happens.
I need it now. We're on deadline. Power through the magazine. Let's do this. So, Chef Ivan, what is your champagne toast?
My champagne toast is to President Joe Biden, who I think is doing a phenomenal job saving a lot of people's lives, and I think will go down in history as one of our greatest presidents, actually.
Wow. Cool.
And his wife's a teacher. So there.
His wife's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing a lot for the education system already. So that's awesome. That's awesome. So are you still like, are you and Tracy and, you know, Pickle, I know you probably don't walk the cats, but maybe you do, go on the beach. Are you able to do that and keep social distancing and still get your beach time?
Sometimes. Right now, there's a lot of people in from Arizona and other states that are not wearing masks.
Oh.
That are acting like this is completely over. And we're staying inside.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you that we were in Gladewater, Texas, in this Christmas store. And the gentleman who ran the store gave us a pickle. Not a real pickle, but a pickle ornament.
and that's our Christmas ornament. Yes. That sounds good, man.
I know.
But we have a pickle ornament.
We have a pickle ornament that you're supposed to hang on a Christmas tree.
Well, the whole thing is if you find the pickle.
No, we're thinking of your dog's pickle.
No, but if you hide the pickle, and it is a pickle, I'll send you guys a photo.
Yeah.
If you hide the pickle, then you get the extra gift.
Yeah, no.
If you hide it, I'll find it. If you find it, not hide it. If you find it, they hide it. Yeah, and then if you find it, you get the extra
Santa
present.
Claus or whomever who parcels out the gifts on Christmas Day hides a pickle, and the child who finds the pickle gets the extra present. And so there's a whole legend behind it. And so he gave us a pickle, and we're still looking for the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't. Well, our present was more snow. We were in Wisconsin in the snow season.
Yeah,
a month. Mm-hmm. But I learned about snow shoveling and all kinds of cool stuff. Did you do that in New York? Like, did you have to do that stuff as a kid, like snow shoveling?
Oh, God,
stuff?
Yeah. Oh, I remember living in Manhattan, and it would snow rarely, but when it snowed heavy, your car would get covered, and then it would turn to ice, and you couldn't move your car for days.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Days. You know, you had to get, like, picks and you had to try to, like, dig it out, and then the traffic was coming because you had an alternate side of the street. It was a nightmare.
Oh, gosh.
Well, yeah, we have a friend from Chicago, and I said, you know, this happened, and I was shoveling all the snow, and then I learned about there's an ice layer, and it was literally the day we were leaving. The sun came out like California. It snowed the night before, and it was like California. Like you could suddenly actually feel the warmth of the sun, because when it's
right.
the sun did come out before, there's no warm feeling. It was like, hello, I'm here, but I'm just teasing you. Ha ha, you're still cold, and you can't feel me, but I'm here. And it was like, what is this? This is not normal.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, the last day it did, and things started melting. And one day it did do it, and then all the ice fell off the roof onto the car.
Icicles.
Like, bam, bam. It felt like a bomb explosion. The dogs freaked out. I freaked out. I was like, who's shooting the house, you know? And it was ice flying off, landing on windshields, everything.
Right.
And, oh, my God, run out. And then, like, okay, when I learned that it was, I was like, oh, my gosh, look at this ice. This is going to become like an ice layer. So I had to go and dig up all the ice. And it was like crazy. But at least we got it done. But a friend in Chicago said that their cars were literally buried, like you were walking on top of cars in winter way back when, like when it would be that bad. And you just had to forget you had a car, because that's that. It's gone. And you would have to dig your car out, like you're saying.
Right.
That's some crazy stuff. Well, thank goodness it's spring. We may have a few more snow things across the country. But listen, April showers will be here soon, and the sun is shining at some point, and it'll get better, and we'll have summer, and then we'll all whine about how hot it is. So just remember, we've got a whole lot of whining coming up. So enjoy what it is. It's so good to have you back on the show, Chef Ivan. Please tell Tracy we say hi and all the kittens
will.
Pickle. And take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Goodbye, ladies.
Bye. We're going to play a song, Nectarine, from Akana over in Hawaii. This is from his album, Ripe. We always love to do that. We will be back with our next spring party. It's our happy hour party tomorrow, Monday, March 22nd. We have Donette Silva Carter from Tulare calling in, Tulare, California, where we're going to be there soon. We have Ward Heinrichs, San Diego employment attorney. We have Bobby DePorter from Quantum Learning Network, and also Super Camp over in Oceanside, California. And we do have someone that isn't from California. That would be Lee Bovedani, the trust architect, all joining us for our party tomorrow night, a happy hour toast to spring. So join us, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And while you're there, make sure to sign up for our newsletter. Then you'll get our digital magazines in your email. And it's only once a month. So take opportunity of that. We've got a lot of good stuff coming out, especially the next issue of Parks and Travel magazine. But here it is, Nectarine by Makana. And you can keep up with him at makanamusic.com. Take care, everybody, and happy spring.
I saw you the other day at the grocery store. You were all so ripe. I went to pick you up when you fell on the floor. Then I felt the softness of your skin make my spirit soar. Anything else just wouldn't do. Banana, papayas, and mangoes too. A kiss on your navel brings me close to you. I press you to my lips. Ooh, yeah, la 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 la. Cupcakes and candies and treats that could give you a heart attack. But none of them have the curvaceousness of your sleep style. Ooh, I wanna stroke you just for a little while. A little while. would eat you if you were younger. Under the surface, could there be trouble? I guess I won't know till I take a bite. Ooh, yeah, la 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 la. Into something and crack me a smile. Just hold me close, don't make no noise. Show me your suitcase full of your toys. Eat from my hand, suck on my toes. Show me the side of you nobody knows. I take you inside, sing you a ballad. You'll be so stoked you'll be tossed in my salad. Ooh, yeah, la, 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 la.